All right. Well, God bless everybody again. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. We'll be starting right there in the very beginning. You know, life is about learning. And no one has learned everything there is to know about every particular subject known to man. I mean, the funny thing is a lot of times there's something you've never even really heard of, and then you find out that people have devoted their entire lives to learning about this one particular thing that you've never even heard of, and then the deeper you look into it, the more expansive it becomes. And all of a sudden, you know, like say somebody studies spiders, there's like 100 varieties, and then there's all these variations of all those different varieties. Now, that's not something that we normally think of that much. I mean, I don't. And I guess the point is that my question tonight is are you still willing to learn? Are you willing to take on opportunities that may present themselves in front of you to learn more, not just biblically, but in many different categories of life? There's always challenges and opportunities to learn and to grow. I mean, obviously in these fellowships, we're talking more specifically about our walk with God and developing ourselves spiritually. But it's a great question. Are you still willing to learn? I mean, I've certainly been in situations where I've had opportunities to learn a particular topic, and sometimes, you know what, I'm resistant to it because it just looks so overwhelming and so consuming, and it's like, I don't want to devote all that time and energy into something I'm not sure I'll ever use. But then there are other things that come along, and it's like, hey, you know what, this is great, I need to learn about it, and you know, there becomes some practical benefit. So I'm thinking that I'm wanting to present three different aspects of learning. The first one is in receiving information, which I'm going to call learn, and then to retain that information, which I'm going to call practice, and then to release that information in a practical way, which I'm going to call engaging in the activity. So we learn the activity, we practice the activity, and then we engage in the actual competition, so to speak, of, you know, the fruit or the benefit of those things that we're learning. Because if we don't learn something and then begin to practice it, how can we then expect to be really good at it? I mean, if you go out and play pool once every 5 years, you can't expect to run the table every time. Take that in any category of life, and especially true in the spiritual realm. Now, God is very gracious. He works with us where we're at. But you know what? There's always the opportunity to learn more, and then we put into practice, we retain those things that we, you know, are learning, and then we're out in the world. We're engaging in life. We're putting the Word of God to the test, so to speak, because God is faithful. Anyway, I said we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 2 because the first thing I wanted to share about is that learning process. And to learn something, you have to receive information. You have to receive information, and in this case, God talks about it in Proverbs chapter 2 where he says, "My son, if thou will receive what? My words, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures," verse 5 says, "then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." So that to me indicates that there's a process. It said, if you will receive my words, and we could supply the word if, and if you will hide my commandments with thee, and if you're going to incline your ear into wisdom, and if you will apply your heart to understanding, and if you will cry after knowledge, and if thou will liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her for silver and for hidden treasures, says verse 5, then. So you know what that's about? That's about putting yourself in a position to learn and to really receive the greatness of spiritual instruction. You know, we get it from ministers, we get it from pastors, we get radio, TV, all that. But you know the greatest teacher of all time of the scriptures? G-O-D. God. God will reveal things to us as we go with the meekness to his word. Take your Bibles, please. We'll go to the book of James. Now that's back closer to the end of the Bible. Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. James chapter 1. Because we have to place ourselves in this position of being able to readily receive and then learn to be able to really grow. And we have to have an attitude of what the Bible calls meekness. Putting ourselves in this environment where we're really open to be able to learn. Gosh, I'm trying to remember this statement, but it's like, if somebody thinks they know it all, then they've really closed the door on learning. There's no meekness in their heart to really learn about anything. And we live in a culture of pride and a lot of things where everybody's got to try to prove how right they are. Well, you know, it's not good probably to go to the Bible with that kind of attitude. We want to go to the Bible with an attitude of meekness. And here in James chapter 1, verse 19, some great practical counsel. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? Hear. Slow to what? Speak, slow to wrath. Hey, those are some pretty good words there. It says, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, now listen to this, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, wow, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now those are some, I don't know if they're $10 or $20 words, but there's some words that I don't think we use a lot in our culture. I mean, filthiness would be like looking at your hands if you've, I don't know, been out working and all dirty and everything. But superfluity of naughtiness, I mean, what is that? Being a child who's misbehaving? Well, those are old English words. I found another translation I think that will help us, where it says, my dearest brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and be slow to become angry. For human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose. Mm. So this is why we abandon everything morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. Instead, with a sensitive or a meek spirit, we absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature. For the word of life has power to continually deliver us. I think that's just such a much greater explanation. We abandon everything morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. That kind of says a lot more than lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. But then that word engrafted, whose translation used the words implanted. If you've ever had any type of joint replacement surgery or known anyone who's had that, there's a particular thing that happens in that process, and they receive an implant. You know what? That implant becomes a part of them. It's not like they take it in and out every night. It has acclimatized itself to their physical body and it's just part of who they are. Well, as believers, when that word of God is engrafted, it's implanted into us, it becomes a part of our nature. It becomes part of who we are. And it has tremendous benefits. And we're not going to take the time tonight to go into all of them, but it has tremendous benefits. But the part of this section is to in the learning process and receiving that information is what we do it with meekness, with humility. We don't know everything there is to know. So we have to put ourselves in this position to really be able to learn. All right, one more, Psalm 19, back in the, just before Proverbs there, back in the kind of the middle of the Bible. There's a great set of scriptures here, starting in verse 7, Psalm 19, verse 7. Talks about some of the benefits of what this Word of God brings to us. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." And then verse 10 kind of summarizes, it says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." This is a description of the beauty and the wonderful, fruitful benefits that God's Word, of which God is the author. I know there's a lot of people who wrote, you know, there was Paul, there was Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all these different authors. But, you know, it says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that God is the author of His Word. Yes, there were different men who wrote it, but these men received these words from God, and they wrote them down. That's why the Word of God is perfect. There are no errors. There are no contradictions. It's a perfect Word, and it's fruitful. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. And God encourages us, hey, search it, seek it, read it, develop it, maintain it. And number two, what we're talking about is to practice. Practice it. And you might say that's another way of saying to retain the Word of God, to keep it in your heart, not just to read it and forget it, but to read it and then maybe throughout the day you think about certain things that you've read in the morning or whenever it is you take the time to look into the words, that you kind of run those things through your mind. There's a great verse in Titus that's kind of back again there. We're kind of flipping back and forth here, but Timothy, Titus, chapter 1. I think you'll enjoy this. So first of all, we're talking about learning the Word with meekness. Number two, now we're kind of talking about practicing or holding on to that Word of God with conviction, with just this intestinal fortitude, so to speak. And this is all in that kind of that overall topic is, are we still learning? Are we still willing to learn? Are we willing to put ourselves in the position to really learn and then continue to develop and grow? Well, Titus 1:9, right after 2 Timothy, there's a wonderful verse that says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Now again, we're talking about, you know, the old English language here, King James Version. But regardless of what all these other things say, and you know, those are easy, you can understand those and look those up in different translations later if you'd like. But the first part of that verse about holding fast the what kind of word? The faithful word. That means to retain it, to think about it, to meditate upon it, to what I call ruminate about it, to mull it over in your mind. You know, if you take a verse of Scripture and you think about it, like Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Well, those are wonderful words. Well, how about we retain those words in our minds, in our hearts, and, you know, as those words become more living and real to us, then we begin to experience the practical benefits of what that truth of that promise really says. It says God will keep you in perfect peace. Now, hey, that's a pretty good promise. That's something that we all need at different points in time, if not all the time, right? Holding fast. Hold on to that word. Boy, just like we would, you know, if we found a big pile of money, you know what we want to do with it? Hold on to it. Hold on to it, or something really precious to you, you know, you want to hold on to it. Great verse in Psalm 119. We're going to go back there again. Psalm 119:11. I've always loved this verse. Gosh, Psalm 119 mentions the Word of God in every verse. So if you're bored sometime and you want something that really blesses you, look at Psalm 119. But in verse 9 it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" It says, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Verse 11. "Thy word have I" what? "Hid. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." That word that David, in this case, but practical to all of us, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." That's one of the great things about retaining the Word of God, practicing the Word, not just getting a bunch of facts, but then retaining it and practicing and holding on to that Word of God that we learn with great conviction. And finally, then, we're ready to engage in seeing the fruitfulness of the promises of God's Word in our everyday life. And I kind of subtitled that, Engage. Learn, practice, engage. Otherwise, receive with meekness, retain with conviction, and finally, release with boldness. Because we can't just hold on to everything we're receiving and retaining. That would be like the Dead Sea. It only has inlets, no outlets. Another way of saying that is like being constipated. You're receiving it, you're retaining it, but you're having a hard time releasing it. You know what? Spiritually, this great principle of receive, retain, release is something that keeps us on what we'll call a virtuous cycle. It helps us to continue to grow, that we're just not receiving and retaining it. Ooh, now that we're into releasing it or just talking about it, kind of. I'm not even saying you have to go out witnessing and all that. You know, that's part of the process maybe, but maybe just finding a fellow believer or somebody that you know and can just want to talk things over with. That's a way of releasing too. Great verse in Ephesians chapter 4. So I think all of us, you know, no matter what our age may be, want to continue to learn and grow. And these principles and things that I'm sharing tonight, receive, retain, release, some of you have heard these before, some of you maybe not. But here they are in God's Word, to receive the Word of God with meekness, and then to retain it, practice it, hold it with conviction, and then finally, we engage, we have the conversation. It's like we've done the homework, we've studied the material, we've kind of made it our own, and then you know what? We can converse about it, you know? Rather than just saying, "I have no idea what you're talking about, Barney," you take whatever it is and at whatever level of growth you're at spiritually, whatever level of maturity you're at, there's no buddy who's ever grown spiritually maturity to the point where they knew everything. And that's not the purpose of, you know, why we are doing what we're doing, to try to learn everything there is to learn. But hey, here's part of the process. Verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "But speaking the truth in love, that may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." You see, there's a great, powerful benefit in being able to speak to one another or to people in the world, the grocery store, wherever you may be, it doesn't matter. There's a great benefit about speaking the truth. But notice those two words after. It says speaking the truth in love. It's not to prove to people how much we know, or you know, how long we've been going to church, or how many hours we spent praying, or a bunch of other stuff. It's that we're speaking the truth in love, because the ultimate maturity is that we lower ourselves to a position of service. I mean, just think how Jesus has been so exalted. Yet what did he do? He came in the form of a servant. And that is the goal, folks, is in learning how to better qualify ourselves to serve in love. So awesome. Well, let's look at Philippians. Flip over one chapter. Flip over to Philippians. One chapter, Philippians chapter 2. Yeah, great. Philippians chapter 2. Now, you'll like this. Verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, God's not saying that as a command. He's just saying, hey, this is going to be what the best thing for you, because it's going to bless you. Now, could it be taken as a command? Maybe so. I mean, if someone needs it, maybe it should be, you know, something they could really pay attention to. Anyway, it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why? It's a blessing for you, and it's a blessing for the people around you. Because if we're always murmuring and disputing, that doesn't bless anybody. You know, we're always complaining and criticizing and judging and thinking we have a better way. You know what? We can just stop that. Why? Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, because that's who we truly are. And then verse 16 goes on to say, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither have I labored in vain. So I think I've attempted to make the point here tonight, guys. Are you still willing to learn? And if so, you put yourself in a position to receive with meekness, and then you retain it. Like, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Or I meditate and I think about and I ask God questions about, you know, these particular scriptures. Because God is the greatest teacher. He's the greatest mentor. And we can't be afraid to ask God about certain things. I mean, he's the author of the word. He knows all about it. And then we engage. We put the word of God into practice in our everyday life. And that's the step of release. So we receive, retain, release. We learn, we practice, we engage. We have meekness, we take it with conviction, and then we release, we share with great boldness, because that is God working within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So Heavenly Father, thank you for simple truth, yet such practical truth, that we can continue to move forward, no matter what our age, Father, that we can continue to learn and grow and see the fruit of understanding and knowing a little bit more about your promises, which ultimately lead us to you, Father. And thank you for the way you look at our hearts tonight. Thank you that we truly are the chosen ones, that you handpicked us and chose us, and when the opportunity presented itself, we believe. Thank you for everyone on the call tonight and for the body of Christ in this state, in this country, and all around the world, Father. That's big for us to handle, but it's nothing for you. And we pray about this tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.